Welcome to another deep dive. Today, we're getting into something really fascinating. The incredible ways animals are just perfectly kitted out, you know, engineered to survive and thrive. We've gone through a really comprehensive look at animal adaptations, and our mission, well, it's to pull out those key nuggets of knowledge, the surprising bits, to give you a real shortcut to understanding nature's cleverest designs.
That's right. And it's not just the big, obvious things. We want to show you how every creature, really, from the tiniest insect right up to the biggest whale, has this special toolkit. These tools let them handle the basic challenges of life in their specific corner of the world. By the end, hopefully, you'll really appreciate this intricate natural balance, and maybe more importantly, our own role in keeping it safe. It's a story of constant innovation, really.
Okay, let's get right into it, this core idea, adaptation. When we say that in the animal kingdom, what are we actually talking about? How does nature do this fine-tuning?
Well, at its heart, an adaptation is really just a modification or a change. Yeah. It could be in the animal's body, its structure, or it could be something it does, its behavior. And the whole point is that this change helps it survive better in its natural surroundings, its habitat.
And that habitat provides everything.
Pretty much. That's where it finds its essentials. Food, water, shelter, and crucially, a place to raise its young. You know, without those, life just isn't sustainable.
So what are the big hurdles? The main challenges these adaptations help animals overcome?
There are several key ones. They need ways to cope with harsh climates, right? Extreme heat, cold, dryness. Then there's avoiding predators, huge pressure. Also competing with other animals for food and space. That's always a factor. And of course, successfully reproducing, passing on those successful adaptations. Every feature, every behavior often ties back to one of these core pressures.
Right. And you mentioned adaptations come in different forms. This is where it gets really interesting, I think. What are the main types?
Yeah, we generally look at two main categories. First, you have physical adaptations. These are actual structural changes to the animal's body. Think about a bird's wing. It's basically a modified forelimb, perfectly engineered for flight. It's biomechanics at its best.
Incredible.
Or a cheetah's body. So sleek, muscular. It's not just fast. It's built for that explosive acceleration needed to catch quick prey.
Mm.
Even something like fish gills, specialized organs allowing them to pull oxygen straight from the water. Amazing, really. They're custom built for their world.
Okay, so physical structures. What's the other side of that coin? The less visible stuff.
That would be behavioral adaptations. These are the things animals do to survive, actions they take. It could be how a wolf pack hunts together, you know, complex coordination, or just a gazelle sprinting away from danger, pure speed as a behavior.
So instinctual action.
Often, yes, or learned. Migration is another big one, moving to find better conditions or food, and even mimicry. Some animals pretend to be something else, maybe something dangerous, or they just blend in. It's about the strategic things they do, not just their physical makeup.
And, you know, to really drive home how specific these adaptations are.
Mm.
Just imagine taking a polar bear, perfectly adapted for the Arctic, and dropping it in the Sahara.
Oh, absolutely. It would be disastrous, wouldn't it? Instantly.
Yeah. It's thick fur, it's blubber, it's white camouflage, all massive liabilities in the heat. Really shows how tailored these adaptations are. Okay, let's shift gears a bit. Food. Always a challenge, right? Animals have incredible adaptations just linked to what they eat and how they get it.
Exactly. And the way they eat really shapes their bodies. Our source breaks it down nicely. You've got herbivores, the plant eaters. Think cows, horses, goats, deer. You look at their teeth, usually sharp ones at the front for cutting grass or leaves, and then big, flat, grinding teeth at the back for chewing up tough plant stuff.
Makes sense.
And it's not just teeth. Think of an elephant's trunk, so versatile for grabbing leaves. Or a giraffe's long neck reaching high branches. Specialized tools for a plant-based diet.
Okay, so herbivores need plants. What about the meat eaters?
Right, those are the carnivores. Tigers, lions, foxes. Animals that hunt and eat other animals. Their bodies are, well, weapons, really. Long, sharp teeth. Powerful claws for tearing flesh. Strong legs, usually, for chasing down prey.
Even snakes, right? They're carnivores, too.
Absolutely. No legs, but very effective. They use their scales to move quickly, silently, and that amazing jaw lets them swallow prey much bigger than their head. And don't forget carnivorous birds. Eagles, vultures, look at those sharp talons and hooked beaks, perfect for catching and tearing.
And then they're the ones that eat.
Well, a bit of everything.
Uh-huh, the omnivores. That includes us, humans, also bears, crows, animals that eat both plants and animals. And their teeth often show this mix. Some sharp ones for meat, some flatter ones for grinding plants. It gives them flexibility, lets them eat whatever's available. Fascinating. And there's one more group, The ones that live off others.
Ah, yes, the parasites. Animals like mosquitoes, fleas, leeches, they depend on other living animals for their food, usually sucking blood or nutrients. What's interesting is they often don't have teeth in the way we think of them. Instead, they have these specialized sucking tubes, a very different feeding strategy.
Okay, so they found their food, but how do they stop becoming food themselves? The defense strategies must be just as varied.
Oh, incredibly varied. It's a constant evolutionary arms race out there. Some animals, the simplest strategy perhaps, just run for it. Think deer, mice, zebras. Speed and agility are their best defense. Just get away fast.
And what about those that prefer to hide in plain sight?
That's camouflage, merging with the background. The chameleon's the famous example, changing skin color.
Right.
But also a polar bear's white fur against the snow. Zebra stripes surprisingly break up their outline, confusing predators. Or a stick insect looks exactly like a twig, brilliant disappearing axe.
And some have built-in armor.
Definitely. Physical defenses like spines or shells. Porcupines and hedgehogs roll into a spiky ball, instant defense. Tortoises, snails, they just pull back into their hard shells, like carrying your own bunker around.
It sounds like some animals are pretty good actors, too.
Absolutely. The tricksters. Opossums are famous for playing dead. Some snakes do it too. The predator might just lose interest.
Clever.
And you have the globefish, or pufferfish. It blows itself up to look much bigger and more intimidating.
Wow.
And flying fish. If chased underwater, they can leap out and glide using their big fins, a quick escape into a different element.
Amazing. And I guess some just stand their ground.
Yeah, the fighters, rhinos, buffaloes, they have horns, they have size and strength. They might choose to confront the threat directly. It really shows the incredible range of solutions nature comes up with.
It really does. And it makes perfect sense that where an animal lives dictates the kind of tools it needs. Let's dive into that. How adaptations vary by habitat.
Yes, this is crucial. Let's start with terrestrial animals, those living on land.
Okay, maybe start with the extremes, like deserts.
Good idea. Desert animals. Camels, desert lizards. They are masters of heat and dryness. Camels, as we mentioned, store fat, not water, in their humps, but they metabolize that fat to get water. Very efficient. They have thick skin to reduce water loss, often dull colors for camouflage. And notice the long legs keeps their body further from the hot sand, plus those wide, thick soles on their feet for walking on sand.
Right, so they don't sink.
Exactly. And some desert creatures practice estivation. It's like hibernation, but during hot, dry summer months, they go into a deep sleep to conserve water.
Wow. Okay, opposite extreme, the poles.
Right, the cold polar regions. Polar bears, penguins, walruses, Arctic foxes. Penguins have thick skin and that layer of fat called blubber, fantastic insulation. Plus, they huddle together for warmth.
I've seen pictures of that. Amazing.
Polar bears, that thick white fur is key for warmth and camouflage. Arctic hares actually change fur color, white in winter, grayish brown in spring, always blending in. And many smaller animals, like ground squirrels, hibernate through the winter in warm burrows. Sleep through the toughest part.
Okay, land covered, hot and cold. What about the air?
Aerial animals, mostly birds, obviously. Their bodies are streamlined, less air resistance, four limbs modified into wings. And their bones, hollow and spongy, makes them super lightweight, which is crucial for flying. Plus, they usually have incredibly sharp eyesight.
Makes sense for spotting things from above. And tree dwellers.
Arboreal animals, monkeys, koalas, sloths, animals that live mostly in trees. They need strong limbs, often strong tails too, for gripping branches. Many have sharp claws or even sticky
And then you have the banded crossers, right? Like frogs.
Exactly. Amphibians. Frogs are the classic example. They can live on land and in water. They're cold-blooded, so their temperature matches their surroundings. As tadpoles, they live in water, breathe with gills, then they change, move to land, develop lungs.
But they still need moisture, right?
Right. Yes, and interestingly, even as adults, they can breathe through their moist skin, especially in water. They also have those powerful back legs for jumping on land. And they often hibernate in cold weather, too.
Okay, finally, life purely in the water.
Aquatic animals, fish, whales, dolphins. Streamlined bodies are key again, cutting through water resistance. Fish use gills. Whales and dolphins, though, are mammals. They have lungs, so they need to surface to breathe. Notice their nostrils, the blowhole, is often right on top of their head. Very convenient.
Oh, okay.
They use fins for swimming, obviously, and many fish have scales. Making them slippery helps them escape predators, too.
So with all these examples, it really blows up that misconception you sometimes hear, that animals can just live anywhere.
Absolutely. That's a huge misconception alert from the source material. Animals are highly specialized. Polar bears belong in the snow, camels in the desert, frogs need both land and water. They can't just swap places easily. Each one is a kind of super adapter, but only within its own environment. It really highlights how tightly linked creatures are to their specific homes.
Yeah, you see it everywhere, like ducks. Those webbed feet are perfect for paddling, useless on dry land for speed. Or why frogs are so noisy in the rainy season, that's their time. Everything's right for them then. Now, beyond just surviving individually, animals play these huge roles in the environment. And for us too, they're not just there, they're vital.
They really are essential. Take seed dispersal. Animals are major players here. They eat fruits, then move around and deposit the seeds elsewhere, either by spitting them out or, well, through their dropping.
Helping plants spread.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Some seeds even have little hooks that catch onto fur, free ride to a new spot. And think about bees, tiny creatures, but absolutely critical pollinators. They help grow so much of our food.
And they're part of that bigger picture, the food chain.
Yes, the food chain balance. Herbivores eat plants. Carnivores eat herbivores. It creates these interconnected chains. Everything relies on everything else. If you remove even a few species, that balance gets disrupted. It can affect plants, other animals. The whole system feels it.
And there are direct benefits to us humans as well.
Definitely. We got food, milk. Eggs. Animals help with workhorses, pulling things, buffaloes in the fields. Dogs guard homes, help find lost people. And just the companionship, the beauty they bring to the world, they enrich our lives in so many ways.
Which makes it even sadder when you realize how many animals are actually in danger.
It is. It's a serious issue. And often human activity is the main cause when animals become extinct or endangered. Extinct means they're gone forever, no more left alive, like dinosaurs, dodos, mammoths. Endangered means they're at really high risk of becoming extinct soon. Think of the Amura leopard, the Royal Bengal tiger. Their numbers are dangerously low.
What are the main things we do that cause this?
Well, the chapter points to a few big ones. Habitat destruction is huge. Humans clear land, filling swamps, damming rivers, cutting down forests for homes, roads, farms. This literally destroys animal homes. It reminds me of that story, Mina's Mango Tree Friends, about saving one tree that was home to so many creatures.
Yeah, taking away their place to live.
Yeah.
And pollution.
Pollution is another major factor. Oil spills, acid rain, chemicals getting into water. It's devastating, especially for fish and birds. We have to be so careful about what we put into the environment.
And direct hunting.
Yes, hunting and fishing, especially when it's illegal. That's called poaching. Animals are hunted not just for food sometimes, but for specific parts. Fur, feathers, horns. Elephants killed for ivory tusks. Rhinos for their horns. It's driven by trade, and it pushes species towards extinction.
But there are efforts to stop this, right? It's not all bad news.
Thankfully, yes. Governments have set up national parks and wildlife sanctuaries. These are protected areas for forests and wildlife. Hunting and poaching are illegal there, with punishments. And there are specific conservation projects trying to save endangered animals, like tigers and rhinos. Real efforts are being made.
And what about how we treat animals individually? There's another misconception flagged in the source, that animals are just here for work or fun.
That's such an important point. Animals aren't just objects. They're living beings. They feel pain, hunger, fear, even happiness, you know? Just like us, they need our care and respect. That means taking pets to the vet, getting them vaccinated, never being cruel or neglecting animals, whether they're pets or strays. And even simple things like keeping our neighborhoods clean, not cutting down trees unnecessarily. It all helps protect their homes.
It makes you think, what would actually happen if forests, these huge vital habitats, were cut down on a really massive scale? What would the ripple effects be? It's a sobering thought, connecting directly to the survival of so many species and maybe even our own planet's health. But what an incredible journey through adaptations today. From tiny changes in teeth or feet to big strategies like camouflage or migration, surviving in deserts, ice, water, air. Nature's ingenuity is just breathtaking.
It truly is. Every single animal is a masterclass in survival, perfectly fitted to its place in the world. And, you know, understanding these adaptations, it doesn't just make us appreciate wildlife more. It really highlights our responsibility. We have a duty to protect these amazing creatures and the homes they depend on.
Absolutely. So, thinking about everything we've discussed, all these amazing ways animals survive, what's one thing you might have noticed recently? Maybe just watching a bird fly or your pet at home, something that now tells you a deeper story about its survival, its purpose, maybe a hidden complexity you didn't quite see before.